So when do you have to go back?
Friday.
You leave Friday. Could I pray for you? How many of you is going back there? You going back there too? All three of you? You're not going anywhere. Stand up. Stand up, you three. Now, tell me your first name again.
Greg.
Greg. I'm bad at first names. I'm bad at last names. What's your name?
Maria.
Maria. Carrie. Carrie? All right. What could I pray for you guys? Tell me something I can pray for you.
Just myself, Maria, her family, my sister's family.
Okay. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you. And Greg, right?
Yes.
Maria and Carrie, we pray for both of their families, for all their families. Help them, God. Help them, Lord. Cause them to have joy. And when they go back home, say, it was good to go out there to Arkansas. Help them to do that, Father. And help them if they need to have words to speak. Cause them to have words to speak. Now hear this part. If they need to hold their tongue on certain things, cause them to hold their tongue. Does that fit? Okay. Father, just be with them. These are lovely people. Just be with them, Father. And just fill them with joy. Fill them with purpose. And help them to know this one thing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. God bless you. Thank you for letting me pray for you. Anybody need a word from the Lord tonight? Stand up if you need a word from the Lord. This is Greg, Maria, and Carrie. This church is well fed.
Amen.
How many of you are hot? How many of you are cold? How many of you are just right? Good. 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 Good, 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 good. Well, let's go to God's Word. I heard an excerpt from Catherine Kuhlman today, and I was reminded of what a great, great, great minister she was. Had a great healing ministry. Moved in the Holy Spirit. And It prompted me on this message today. And I'm going to start in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Bless your word, Father, to our hearing. Bless our ears that we might hear. Lord, help me to speak the words of eternal life. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen and amen. And I'm preaching just a short for a few moments on the subject of not guilty. And as I said, I saw an excerpt from Catherine Kuhlman. I shared it. Some of you might have seen it. I put it on. Anyhow, I'm going to just work in those veins. Jesus declares that you're not guilty. Now, you might think, well, we know that. Well, you know, in my church life, which started in 1971, in the summer of 1971, on the east side of San Jose, California, at my mother's kitchen table, I was led to the Lord. I was 19 years old. And that began my church life. And from that day till this day, I never cease to be amazed at how much guilt Satan is able to put into the lives of people to get them from believing God for all of his best for each and every one of us. And it attacks any of us at times. And hopefully I can say something here tonight that will help you to check that and to notice that and not go into that and not fall for that. Because from cover to cover, and make no mistake, Jesus was in the Old Testament also. Let us, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, let us create man in our image after our likeness. And let man have dominion over everything. And that's supposed to be over every demon, over every sickness, over the devil himself. That's what the word says. But the serpent, according to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, he was the most subtle creature in the garden. And he is representative of Satan in the garden. He got right in there. And he was subtle. And he's subtle today. And he the way that he enters into mess with us, the way that I can tell you the most is through our thought life, through what we think. What you have to realize, there are thoughts out there, and some of them are not from a good source. Some of them are from the devil. And they get into your mind, and sometimes it's those thoughts that say, I'm not worthy of that prayer being answered in my life, or I'm not worried of this, or I'm worthy of this, or not worried, worthy of that. But nothing could be farther from the truth. And I'm telling you, with looking everybody straight in the eye, you're not guilty. Because the Creator, let me tell you something, he's the one that says how everything is going to go on this planet. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to follow him, but the principles that be, what works is the Word of God. Jesus, if you're the Son of God, cause these stones to turn into bread. Jesus said, not so, devil. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That's Matthew 4 and Luke 4. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man lives at his best by the word of God, by what the word of God, by those 7,500 plus promises to mankind and this world, the 8,600 promises altogether for this world. Man does not live by bread alone. Man lives by the promises. God backs us up. We have to learn how to use the word. And so many people I've met, good church people, sometimes they can't seem to get that word going in their life. And unless we get that, as Peter said, as newborn babes earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That sincere has to do with that first milk, that colostrum. I'll tell you, I just had a litter of 9 puppies, and I guarantee you, mama got that colostrum for them puppies, and they are growing, and they're doing so good, and it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But so there's the first milk of the word. Then the word talks about the meat of the word. There's more of the word. You cannot afford the luxury of letting somebody else do all your word studying. You can't afford that. It just won't do for you. I'll tell you, I was so lost and so messed up when I got saved. I had demons in me and around me that New Living Bible was the name of the translation. It was a red leather Bible, and I got in my room, and I stayed in there for months. And you've heard me say this before. I just read that Bible and read that Bible and read that Bible, and finally that Bible began to read me and change my life. And that's the truth. And I've lived out that truth in front of y'all for many years here at Paris Christian Center. And does that mean I'm perfect? No. I might be the most imperfect person in this room. But see, that's really not the point. See, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven every day. And we're going to talk about that. before we leave here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about how to activate that word, how to make that word work for you, and how to put the devil. You know, the word says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, how do you do that? Well, you resist them with the word of God. You resist them the way Jesus did. If you're really the Son of God, throw yourself off of this building. And then the devil tries to quote Psalm 91 and says, because the word says that God will give his angels charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone. So go ahead. Go ahead, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I know people that I'm pretty sure they died before their time because they thought they could do things that people really shouldn't try to do. They lived lives of devil may care, blah, blah. You know, I just recently bought a motorcycle. And I guarantee you, I wouldn't have bought it if I didn't know about riding motorcycles. But I was riding motorcycles almost when I began to walk. But I would not recommend anybody be 70, 80 years old and try to get a motorcycle again. You could hurt yourself. You can say, God will protect me. Yeah, God will protect you. But them cars and stuff, if you don't know what to do in a bad situation, you could have some trouble. And it won't be God's fault. When you get up there and say, God, why did you let me die on that motorcycle? Well, you didn't know what you were doing, and you got out there and you rode on it. That's why. So you want to use your brain. To get saved, you don't have to lose your brain. You have to think wisely. You don't want to do anything, as Clint Eastwood said, in Dirty Harry, a man's got to know his limitations. I'll go along with that. We have to know our limitations. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he has made him to be sin for us. God the Father has made God the Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are God's hands-on representatives in this life. We are the ones, not the angels. We are the ones giving the responsibility to preach the gospel, going to all the world and preach to everybody, to all people, and make disciples of all men, teaching them to obey the word, teaching them what the word is. And the word said they went everywhere, and the Lord was with them, confirming the word with signs following, and I believe in that too. Amen and amen. Now, at any point in this service, if somebody wants a word from the Lord, you feel like you need a word, just stand up and we'll get to you. I don't know what you're standing up for. Now, this is how the kingdom of God really, really works. He took his only begotten son. See, it was like they were at a card table. And Satan said, well, I've got him now. There's nothing he can do to, you know, we've been through Joseph and Job and all the Old Testament folks, and there ain't nothing to stop me now. I'm going to be able to destroy mankind. Well, why would Satan want to destroy mankind? Because according to the word in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9, saved people are God's portion in this earth. He did all of this for few there be that find it, us. He did it for us. We are God's portion. People that get saved, and I'm not just talking at this church or this kind of church, at any church. People that are saved anywhere on the globe, at any denomination. I think I want to just share this with you. You're in a little bit of concern if you're going to hold something against another denomination. I don't think that's a good thing to do. I think you could really get yourself in trouble in a hurry. Because see, you're putting yourself in the class of you know as much about people's hearts as God does, and we don't. See, God may give us a little piece here or there of something that he wants us to know, but he alone is God. He knows what's going on. And this is how the kingdom of God really works. That cross right there. In the old covenant, if you were Jewish, you could be a servant of God. That cross behind me. And this new covenant makes whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That cross doesn't make us servants. That cross makes us kin. We are kin to God. According to the book of Corinthians 6:18, and I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Lord has bestowed upon us that he would call us the children of God. You're children of God. How many of you here born again? Everybody with your hand up, you're a child of God. Amen. There's no doubt about it. You're born again. You're born again because that's what the Bible says. And why should the words of a creature that hides in the darkness and hides in lies speak to your mind? That's why Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See? And so we can't, and if I didn't see it a lot in the church, I wouldn't say anything about it. But don't let Satan talk you out of a blessing. Well, how do I know it's Satan? If he's trying to talk you out of something good, it ain't God. Does that make sense? Amen. Be sober. Be vigilant, Peter told us, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Make no mistakes. He doesn't want to have tea and crumpets with you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to make it where you live with less than God would give you, that you would live less years, that you would get afflicted. Am I saying every sickness and every affliction is of the devil? No, but some of them are. I said some of them are. Sometimes. You would know. Know what we want to do. We want to know what the word says belongs to us. And then we want to enforce that. We want to make sure that the devil knows that we know that that's what we can have. And that's how we can live. I'm not saying you won't be afflicted or picked on or picked at. I feel like that a lot. I've had that happen a lot. But every battle so far, hallelujah, since I was a kid, I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I've overcome the devil by the word of my testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, according to Revelation. And I give up my life every day. One of the things Millie and I pray first thing in the morning, we prayed it this morning, is Father, we pray and say the last words Jesus spoke from the cross. Into your hands we commit our spirits today, Father. That's how much we trust you. And Father, I'm saying this right now, and I'm not just saying it, I mean it. If today's my day to die, then so be it. I'm ready. But I happen to know that the word says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. Man's days will be 120 years. And Lord, Moses lived to be 120 years old. And I'm going to push for that unless you say it's time for me to go. Like the song says, when your time has come to go, will your robe be white as snow? Are you walking and a-talking with the Lord? Will he take you by the hand and lead you to that promised land? Are you walking and a-talking with the Lord? Many will say to me in that day, well, Lord, I did a lot of good things. You check the book again, like the song says. My name has got to be in there. And Jesus said, see, that's not the point. The word says in 1 John, if you say that you have no sin, you're mistaken. See? By the way, 1 John was not written to sinners. It was written to the church. And by the time we get to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he says this, if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and has a legal right. He has a legal right. Well, who made up the legal? He did, not Satan. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. That's what communion is all about. Communion is to a believer what an oil change is to a car. It is a time to, as the word says in 1 Corinthians 11, let a person examine themselves and then let them take communion. See where you're at. We're going to do that in just a moment. We're going to examine ourselves. And if I've sinned, then tell them what you've done. If you haven't sinned, I'm not saying you have to sin every week. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you have a tempter. Now listen, in the next life, when we go to heaven, we will have no tempter. The place is so wonderful, we won't have a sun or a moon. The place will be lit up by the presence of God. We will literally drive our side-by-sides on streets of solid gold. I had a kid years ago. He said, Brother Angelo, do you think the Lord will let me take my Jeep with me to heaven? I said, stop talking so dumb. Heaven will have their own Jeeps up. Now, I don't know what's going to happen up there, but I know one thing. There's one thing we can be sure of. The streets will be made of gold. There won't be any more pain. He's going to dry every tear. It's a place of great reward. And he has, you know what? It closes out. He doesn't even tell what great worlds we're going to be having, what God's going to do next. But you know what? He's going to do it. And he's going to include us with it, whatever it is. And I'm preaching a message that saying that simply that you're not guilty. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. That's a more proper sense. You're being changed every day if you're born again. Jesus, my Savior. Well, that's the truth. That's how the kingdom of God works. And this is the result of God's plan. If any person is in Christ, John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything you want and it'll be done for you. That's what the word says. See, the question is, have you got that word? Have you got that promise in your heart? I don't know of anything any more important. You know, from the very start, I didn't trust a preacher to do my studying. I can remember Calvary Community Church where Millie and I were married. I sit at the back of a church. It was about 500 people. It's not a big church, really. And I could see coming from the front, from around the pulpit area, looked like heat waves coming. And it was coming at me. And many times before it got to the back row where I sat, I got up and left. I didn't know what that was. I had no idea. But one day, I stayed. And it further changed my life. And I love everything. I want everything that God has for me. Do you want everything God has for you? Good. Then you're on the right track. You know, the cross removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, according to Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west. And there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. But this is what Satan tries to do to you. Okay? I'm going to share this. This is what the devil tries to do to you. And Catherine Kuhlman brought this out. And in the book of John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, I'm going to read here. And I just got the best parts of it because it's a short service. We don't make it go long. This is one service you can be absolutely sure you're going to get out in 1 hour. It only took me a whole lifetime to where I could do that. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You know, she was taken in the very act. I wonder where the fellow was. I wonder where the guy was. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And this, see, the religious people, this they said, tempting him that they might have something to accuse him over. But Jesus just stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. Verse 7, and so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Now, how many of you in your imagination, if anybody sinned, Satan has? You know the difference between you and Satan? Satan's sins have not been forgiven. Satan's going to the lake of fire for what he's done to those like you and me. He's the only person named in the whole Bible by name. That's how big of a loser he is. He's small. See him small. All he can do is get you to pick up a stone and stone yourself. I'm telling you, every last one of you that's born again in here, you can leave here fully forgiven of everything you've ever done right now. That's what communion is about. That's what it's for. Why? Because he loves you. And he stooped down again and he wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even until the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, condemned you, and I'm going to tell you something. If Satan does anything, he condemns people. He condemns him. How does it get in your thought life? I don't know how that works. If anybody knows how that works, stand up and tell the rest of us. All I know is that that's the truth. That's the absolute truth. You got to watch whose voice. The Bible says to take control, taking every thought captive and leading every thought, making it obedient to Christ in Corinthians. That's what we have to do. And I'm not kidding you, for God's sake. Don't leave it to somebody else to know the Bible for you. That's not right. Nowhere in this word does it say to do that. And she said, no man, Lord. No man is, they're gone. Everybody that was going to, you sure put them out of here. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Now you go and sin no more. That is the essence of what communion is right here in this church. That's what communion is all about. When we take communion, see, what's the sense in confessing to our high priest if it doesn't do any good? Well, you mean every time you take communion, you can confess sin? Yeah. What if you confess the same thing more than once? Well, here's what I know. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and has a legal right to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. And I can tell you this, even AA knows this. Recovery starts with confession. Recovery starts with stop saying that it's all right and you had a bad life and blah, blah, blah. No, that's not the truth. The truth is you missed it. The truth is I missed it. And what God's looking for, because when they say, look, man, I was in the same church for 30 years. I once gave a poor guy $10. I did this and I did that. And Jesus said, yeah, but you know, depart from me. I never knew you. See, God's not worried about what you did. As much as have you taken the time, do you know how to find God? You find God through putting that word inside of you and by worshiping God and by praying to the Lord and waiting on God and making him as many ways as you can, make him the Lord of your life. How many of you know at least one thing you could make him the Lord of your life tonight? Put your hand up. Okay. That's it. It's things like that. Well, what if I say that I'll do that and I don't do it? Try it again next week. You know what? Like, nobody ends up in heaven by accident. Nobody ends up in hell by accident. If God knows, how many of you believe that he's Alpha and Omega? How many of you believe that he knows the end from the beginning?
Amen.
Yeah, see? And look here. If he knows 10 years from now somebody's going to get saved, he's not going to let them die until they get saved. That's just the truth. There might be certain circumstances and situations that 10 years from now, a person would just say, you know, get saved. And he'll keep you alive until then. Why? Because we're dealing with somebody. We don't completely understand who we're dealing with. God is magnificent. And this whole world is about straight as the gate. Narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. It's about those few from generation to generation. He loves us. He loves anybody that'll love him back and just be honest with him. Do you believe that? That's what the word says. Now, I'm telling you, let me say this here. Put up 1 John 1 and 9, and we'll see it. This is a key verse if you're a believer, if you plan on being a believer. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Hello? In the sound booth? 1 John 1, 9. God bless you and the Chevy you drove in on. Would you say this verse with me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, 1 Corinthians 11 says, but let a man or woman person examine themselves and then let them take communion. I'm going to ask you to make an altar where you are. If you can't do that, bow your head. Come to the altar with me if you want to. I notice it seems like only the kids will come up here with me. And examine your heart. If there's something that shouldn't be there, do 1 John 1:9 with it.